Afternoon, everyone. I hope you're doing all right. This is the Reverend Blake Ruby. Welcome to my show, The Church of the Soul's Evolution. I love my show. I've had it now over 8 years, and since 2017. And it is a lot of fun. Additionally, it gives me a chance to practice my public speaking skills, which is important to me. I've always been shy. And I've had to work hard to get rid of my shyness. And what a better place. I can't imagine anything better except maybe to have my own TV show, but perhaps that's written in the stars somewhere. Otherwise, not a problem. Radio's also good, you know. On my show, I talk about spirituality. And I've said this before, if you've listened to any previous shows of mine, we're here on Earth to develop ourselves spiritually. And we are spirits in the material world, just like that song by the Police. And the more you realize that, then the better it's going to be for you, for me too, until we reach that day far in the future, hopefully. But who knows? You know, tomorrow's not guaranteed for any of us when we'll make that transition and go into the afterlife. The afterlife, from what I have learned, and I'm constantly reading and watching videos. I watched a video of about a woman yesterday. There's a good YouTube channel called Coming Home, and it is really interesting. Also, Anthony Chain Productions, I think it's spelled Chene, and these are near-death experiences. I've seen them all, and I always wait for the new ones to come out. The last one was just a couple of days ago about a ICU nurse. She grew up in a dysfunctional family, and there was a lot of drinking and verbal abuse, physical abuse. And so she did well in school, and then she got an EMT certification after graduating from high school. And she'd had some health issues, a little bit of epilepsy. And so later on, she found out she couldn't drive an ambulance. So she went to nursing school and got a Bachelor of Science in nursing. And then she continued with her abuse of alcohol and taking drugs, pills. And it led one day to her just getting to the point where her body just stopped functioning. And she went to the hospital and they were pumping blood into her. She was losing blood. And she had a near-death experience. She left her body and she said she went out of the space-time continuum, was in a place where it was just beautiful, like outer space, you know, with stars everywhere, and had an encounter with a being that could best be described as God, the source, creation, the creator of the universe. A light. The creator is light, my friends. A being made of pure light. Can you imagine that? We see light. We see the sun setting over there in the distance, light everywhere, other suns up above in the evening sky, and we can see them. But imagine a being only made of light and a being that created the physical universe. And out of light, with that power, the power of light, which is a powerful force, by the way, my friends, created dark energy and dark matter to create the emptiness and voidness of outer space, which is really like a fabric, you know, but it's made of dark energy and dark matter. And in an effort to expand itself, to grow the light. And that's what the mantra is now, my friends, grow your light. Grow your light because you have a soul, which is the brain of your spirit. And inside your soul, there's like a little spark of the Creator's light, which lights up your soul. And when you leave your physical body, you shed it because it'll be like shedding a piece of clothing. You'll look back upon it and see that it was very familiar and useful. I mean, you might not feel any emotional attachment to it because it served its purpose of carrying you around in your life. But the real you, is one made of pure spirit. And the spirit is similar to the physical body in many ways, but you'll feel free. And there won't be any pain. I know you've heard that before, but I'm serious. You'll feel like about 10, 20, 100 times better because you'll be free. That is your real state of being. And Earth is not our home, my friends. This is a planet out of many, 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 I can't emphasize that word enough, planets in the universe that are compatible, that are habitable with different physical bodies, sentient bodies. And the deal is we evolve our souls through the process of reincarnation. Now, not everybody is intelligent enough to understand that. I mean this in a good way, not being disrespectful, but you have to learn and get smarter. Everyone has access to super intelligence, my friends, but I see people on TV all the time, especially on the news shows. We like watching them because they're very brilliant people, you know, and lovely people, and they're alive, and they're fun to watch. But these debates they get into, these arguments, it's all one side or the other, you know. Specifically, I'm talking about, you know, CNN, who is a Democratic channel, and Fox, who are mainly Republicans, and they go at it. But there's one thing they're not smart enough to realize, even though as smart as they are, they can learn something new, and that is that unless you have the ability to say good things about each other, please don't forget this, my friends, unless you have the ability to say good things about your competition, the opposition, whoever, other people who don't believe the same things you do, who believe differently, and they're entitled to their beliefs and their opinions. Unless you can say something good like, well, they're alive. They might not be alive tomorrow, and I might feel sad if they die. Or maybe they are very brilliant intellectually. They might have a few degrees. They might have a PhD. They might have a beautiful family. They might be a generous person. They might be kind. They might help the homeless. You don't know. We don't know these things. But unless they can say something good about the people that they are saying all these bad things about, then they're just not intelligent enough. And I see it. I see that with a lot of people. They have room to improve, to grow, and be smarter. And I do too. I'm not saying that I'm where I'm trying to be, where I'm going. But can't you please say something good about, like the protesters in up there in Minnesota? I see that on the news. And I think to myself, well, Renee Good, for example, she kind of used her car as a weapon. I mean, when you insert yourself into these law enforcement situations, whether you like it or not, these ICE agents are duly elected, duly commissioned police officers. They might not be like the usual police that, you know, patrol the streets and in your hometown. But they are getting paid as police officers, and they demand respect. And we should respect them. They have a very difficult job. Imagine if you were one. I rode with a police officer one day when I was living in Alexandria, Virginia, and they had to deal with the lower life all the time. People who break the law, who steal, domestic disturbances, homelessness, degenerate people, unfortunately, people with mental health issues, they all have to deal with it. Just watch a COPS program or Desert Law or Ozark Law, Reloaded COPS. You'll see what I mean. And they have to chase people who run away from them and endanger other people's lives and their own lives. And they have to clean people up off the street, people that have died in car accidents, that are bleeding. They have to have great leadership skills and be able to handle those situations and direct traffic. We have to have respect for the law. in our country. And if you can't do that, then like I said, you need to get smarter. That's the most simple way I can put it, without any disrespect intended. But I've looked at those people who are protesting, and I wonder to myself, why aren't they working their job in the daytime? Are they unemployed? Because, you know, they couldn't do that every day. And I'm going to take a drink. And I read some of their signs, and these people, they have their skills and their talents, and I can sympathize with them. You know, I know that most of them are Democrats. Probably none of those people up there who are protesting voted for Donald Trump in 2024, right? All these protests, ICE protests across the country, I'll bet that close to 100% of them are Democrats, right? They have a, they can protest if they want to. That's their legal right. But logically, let's look at it logically with using our intelligence. Donald Trump won the election in 2024. Now, I know that might not mean a lot because we're still engaged in competition all the time, daily competition. But the majority of Americans voted for him to clean up the country from illegal aliens who are in this country, who were let in through the borders without any vetting. And that is disrespectful and inconsiderate for the people that have to go through it the right way, like I did, being a former Canadian citizen. I was born and raised in Canada. And then we had to put in our paperwork and get our green card. And then eventually I got my U.S. citizenship, but it took years, it took time. And that is the right way of going about it. Now, I feel sorry that some of these people are intermingled with society and they've got jobs and now they're fearful they're going to lose their jobs. They don't know when ICE is going to come and deport them. I understand how they must feel. And if it was up to me, I would say the illegal immigrants who are living meaningful lives and contributing to our society, allow them an avenue to get their green cards and their citizenship so they can go and fill out the paperwork, because now they can't, because they're afraid that if they go down there to do that, then they'll get arrested and deported. So let them stay. I'm talking about the productive ones, not the violent criminal type. The borders are closed. That's good. No one's coming in illegally. We're now continuing to go on with the correct process of becoming a citizen or just getting into the United States and finding a job and making money. That's fine. But let these people continue contributing to our society. But the ICE agents need to do their jobs like they were hired to do, like President Trump was elected to do, to isolate these criminal, illegal immigrants who have killed some people, right? I mean, there's bad apples in any society. There's bad apples everywhere. Even if they didn't come from other countries, here within the United States, you've got some bad people, gang people, you know, people that kill others and do bad. And that's what I would say. That's what I hope and pray, that we would be compassionate enough and loving enough to and do what God would like us to do, do God's will, have God continue to bless America, right? Because we don't want God to stop blessing America. That wouldn't be good, would it? I'm going to take a drink. Every night I pray for Mr. Trump, Mr. Vance, for the members of Congress, for the members of Mr. Trump's administration, for their strength and wisdom to do the right thing, to keep America safe and strong. And I try not to call anybody bad names, you know. I think when you call people vulgar words, you're doing them an injustice. I mean, when you think something and you say something, it's kind of like transmitted out there into the universe, you know, into the atmosphere. We have to be careful with what we think and what we say. Even if you're driving a car down the road and you see somebody walking along the sidewalk, we have a tendency to be judgmental, don't we? Like maybe, I don't know about that clothing they're wearing, or maybe those shoes. But you're maybe not knowingly judging somebody when you shouldn't be. Instead, why not think in a situation like that, well, there's somebody who's alive, you know, somebody who's got a life and got a mother and father who love him or her. And maybe they're going through some issues, you know, but we all go through issues when we're younger, right? Maybe substance abuse, whatever. And people are involved in a violent kind of upbringing. Take Billy the Kid, for example. Let's go back into the Wild West just for a little while. And this is applicable to other people as well. The point I'm trying to make is Billy the Kid might not have been a bad young man, you know, who wanted to do good, who wanted to grow up and live a life, a meaningful life, have a job, a family, raise children, and live to be a ripe old age and enjoy his retirement watching the sunset from his porch in a log cabin in Montana, whatever, you know. But unfortunately, somebody came and tried to kill his father, so he killed them. But that person had friends, maybe some lawmen who were friends, and they came after him and he had to kill them. And the next thing you know, he's an outlaw, he's on the run, and everyone's trying to get him, and he's having to defend himself. No one cares about a fair trial, you know, or really finding out what actually happened, you know, how it all started. But all of a sudden, he's become the most notorious outlaw in the Wild West. A young man, he's only just defending himself, trying to stay alive. No one cares how it all began. You know what I'm saying? And that's the way it is with some people. We don't know their entire story. Only the mother and father God can see and understand and look back into his life and into his past and look on how he was brought up. Maybe he just wasn't given enough love to even a mother changing a baby's diapers. If she doesn't do it in a loving way, it can have an influence on the baby. There's a difference between being brought up lovingly or not so lovingly. And we can tell that when people don't treat us the way they could with love and affection, it changes our minds. It's unfortunate, but it happens. And it's like a ripple effect of unkindness that goes out when it could have been kindness. That ripple effect works both ways. You can send out ripples of love, or you can send out ripples of hate. Which one do you want to what's that word? Proliferate. You know what I mean? I want to stop the ripple effect for negativity and hate and only accentuate positive things. We've got to work on our own society before we make contact with those extra terrestrials out there. We've got to be more loving to each other. You know, if anything, like I said, I watch these people on TV. They're alive. I see so many people that have passed away. Where'd they all go? You know, some of these, I like surfing YouTube videos. I see sometimes the best of Ed Sullivan. I used to love watching Ed Sullivan and the Beatles. Now there's only two Beatles left. You know, John and George passed away. Where'd they go? Are they still alive in another form? In spirit? Yes, they are. We don't know exactly where because we live in the physical world and we've got other things to worry about, you know. We have to maintain our objectivity to survive and make money. Unfortunately, that's the reality of our lives. Like in that song, Bittersweet Symphony by The Verve, it's because life's a bittersweet symphony. You're a slave to money, and then you die. You try to find, trying to find some money, then you die. That's what it's all about. Money. You know, it seems like it's more important than life. It shouldn't be that way, my friends. I'm gonna take a drink. There's an intergalactic federation of sovereign planets out there, extraterrestrial beings who number probably around 27,000 from different planets throughout the universe. And maybe just the galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy. I don't know for sure. But there are all kinds of sentient beings who have had the benefit of many more years of evolution than we have here on Earth. I think it's safe to say, my friends, that there are some beings out there that have been traveling through space hundreds of millions of years, even before the Milky Way galaxy was created. And so you see, the universe is teeming with life, because the creator of the universe, is creator of bodies, sentient bodies, animal bodies, and the creator is always creating. There's nothing that gives the creator more satisfaction and enjoyment, I think, than creating new things. Remember when there were dinosaurs here on Earth? At one time, different types of dinosaurs, all kinds. If you've watched Jurassic Park, you know what I'm talking about. Tyrannosaurus Rex, these little tiny ones that run around and can bite. The different stegosauruses with their thick armor plating and the big, huge brontosauruses. Imagine creating those with nothing. To think about that, with the omniscience of the creator, to create a being like that, was really only just part of the ecological system, you know, but more than that, part of the second force of the universe, which creates all the plant and animal life throughout the universe. The first force creates all the suns and planets and moons. The third force creates all the sentient life. And there are thousands of different variations of bodies, mostly humanoid, you know, with a head, two arms, and two legs, different color skin, blue, green, human-like, some that are gray, tan, black, yellow, red, with different textures of skin, some that resemble bark and like fish scales or snake skin, reptilians, you know, those alien species. And then you have the grays and the Arcturians and the Palladians. And they're very beautiful beings, but you know what? I'm going to take a drink. Every single one of those species began like we began on their home planet before they got into outer space and colonized other worlds. They too were involved in warfare among their own kind, you know, because resources were scarce and technology didn't hardly exist in the beginning for the first few thousands of years, and money or some form of money compared to money was always in short supply in those first few years, thousands of years. The same here on Earth. That's why they had human trafficking, slavery with the Moses back in those times and with the black folks, you know, in the 1800s. Because people didn't have money to hire people to work in the fields. Money was scarce. People were trying to survive. It was tough back then. That doesn't make a right to enslave another race of human beings, but I can see both sides of the coin, if you know what I mean. I've often said to my wife, who is African-American, if I was Superman, I'd go back in time and I'd kick all those plantation owners' butts, if you know what I mean. But then that would be changing time, and that would just, you know, set everything helter-skelter, and I wouldn't want to do that. But you get my point. I'm totally against slavery, enslaving any kind of human beings, or for human trafficking, selling young females into sexual prostitution, if you will. But it happens. Because why? Because of money. Now, if we didn't have money, a monetary system, things could be different. You know, we could be sharing with each other. Usually you only share with people who you love, like or love, right? The thing is, why can't we like and love everybody? I mean, we want what is our own. It's fair. and reasonable to divide what we have among ourselves, but still we can share. We're going to take a drink. Well, in the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets, they're out there and they're concerned about our planet, you know, how things are going here, all the warfare we've had in the past and currently still going on, people killing each other. There's never, ever a good reason to kill another human being, my friends. And as far as the protests up there, Rene Good and Alex Pretty, why couldn't they have, with, well, separately, let me just talk about them separately. With Rene Good, yeah, she almost ran over the foot of one of those ICE officers, but that didn't really justify him pulling out a gun and shooting her in the face, you know, ending her life. You have to consider what would be commensurate with her crime. Maybe if she was firing at him, then yeah, but I know that a car can be used as a deadly weapon, but wouldn't it have been easier just to shoot out her tires or maybe fire a warning shot up in the air and then, you know, have a car chase her down and arrest her, put her in jail? I think that would have been better. Or Alex Pretty, even though he was a pretty aggressive person, I saw him kick the rear headlight, the rear light up from that vehicle with his foot. And so he was a violent agitator, so to speak, but he didn't deserve to die. What happened to tasering people? A taser is a lot more effective for those kinds of people, you know, and they get to keep their life and keep on living. You know, everyone deserves a second chance. Maybe he shouldn't have done that. I don't think he should have, but it didn't deserve the death penalty. You know, it's judge, jury, and executioner. I can also understand how it is with the police when you've got these violent people who are resisting aggressively, you know, especially him. He had a gun in his waist, you know, and he could have pulled that out at any time. They're thinking about that, considering that, you know, you got to take that into account. But I've always said, I turn and look to my wife and say, why can't we just get along? You know, like Rodney King once said, why can't we just love each other? Why can't we be friends? Remember that song by War? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends with the Russians and the Chinese? You go to their countries, you know, and they're just like us. They're human beings. We got a heart, we got a brain, they've got blood pumping through their veins, they're breathing. And they just want what we want. They want to have enough food on the table. They want someone to love, someone that gives them love. They want to enjoy themselves. They don't want any trouble. They want to be safe. Don't we all want to, whether you live in China or Russia or anywhere around the world? And I think we're making progress. We're heading in that direction where we can be friends, you know. But the thing is, we're living on a planet. I'm going to take a drink. We're living on a planet that's not our home. You have to be smart enough. We have to be smart enough to realize that we are spirits in the material world. Not trying to frighten anybody. I'm just trying to increase your light just a little bit. Turn up that light, my friend, that light of your soul. And evolve. Do you have the courage to do that? The courage to change. Do you have the courage to change? Increase your lamp. Because when you pop out of your body, you're going to see you're shining with a certain light. And hopefully, you will have increased your light's intensity more than it was when you were first born into this world. When you pre-existed before you were born, before that angel pushed you into your mother's womb, and then you spent 9 months in gestation, hopefully all of us will continue to grow intellectually. And as I've said before, the primary reason that we have war and conflict is because people don't have the intellect to resolve their differences peacefully. In other words, they're just not smart enough for a being on this planet who is proud of their intelligence. We all pride ourselves on our intelligence, whether you believe it or not. But to be told that you're not smart enough is a hard pill to swallow, so to speak. But, and I say it with all due respect, not trying to offend anybody, I need to continue growing and learning. It's a struggle for all of us, you know, just to make progress on a daily basis to survive. Because, as I said, this planet is not our home and it weighs heavily on our psyches. You know, the atmosphere weighs down on us, the barometer is always changing, weather is always changing. There's a thousand and one ways to die. There's danger everywhere on the highways, from other animals, from animals around. We have to be on our guard all the time, don't we? I see the next step in our evolution as making contact with the ETs that are out there. The Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets wants us to join the intergalactic community and be productive members of that society. And when we do, we'll have access to their technology and we'll be able to become star travelers. I'm going to take a drink. Does anybody have that spirit of exploration anymore, like Columbus did when he set across the Atlantic Ocean to find that other world? Or when we first went to the moon, we wanted to explore. Men and women have that spirit of exploration within us. And we can be like in Star Trek when they share their technology with us. Hopefully, someday soon in the future, then we can be like them. Just imagine being in a room with, I'm not talking about Star Wars, because Star Wars talks about killing and fighting and war, which is not conducive to a future where we all survive, if you know what I mean. Our eventual self-destruction is kind of along that path of warfare, if you know what I mean. If you want to go down that way, you can if you want to, but I'm not going that way. The pathway is of peace and love. I want to survive and not self-destroy, you know? And these beings, imagine in a room with them, different bodies, different eyes, different levels of intelligence. However, they're all extremely intelligent if they're able to traverse the universe in as quick of a fashion as they do with their very highly developed spaceship, which are propelled by anti-gravity electromagnetic mechanisms. And also they're able to go into other dimensions. And when you look into the eyes of a being that knows how to do that, that is the next step, well, the next level, the next step in our evolution, my friends. We just have to keep on developing ourselves spiritually. Because are we ready for it right now? Could ET come and land on the back lawn of the White House? No, because just like in the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still, it would be instantly surrounded by M1 tanks, Bradley armored vehicles, artillery pieces, men with machine guns and other weapons, missiles, because our intelligence is limited. And we couldn't say, well, if they wanted to do us harm, they could have done it now before. But we can only think within our own confines, our own boundaries. And that's the problem. These are beings who are thousands of years in advance of our own civilization. maybe millions of years who've been alive. It's like maybe a baby is born here on Earth, grows to be 5 years old, and then you introduce that baby to a man or a woman who's 90 years old, has had the benefit of all those years of experience and wisdom, and have them communicate. That would be like the baby, the five-year-old would be like us, and they would be like the 95-year-old. You know what I mean? They have been in existence longer than we have. Some of them can live to be 20,000 years old. And that is where the action is. It's just going to take courage and wisdom to get into it. And some people have already had interactions with extraterrestrials. They can be reasonable. I mean, they can come and talk with us. They know how to get down to our level. I mean, it's more easy for them to get down to our level than us to get up to their level. You know what I mean? And they have had conversations with people on Earth. They say President Eisenhower had a meeting with some extraterrestrials that was kind of hidden from the public, you know, when they talked about the proliferation of nuclear weapons and trying to keep the Earth safe and not bound on the road of destruction down the pathway into the future, you know. They want us to survive, not only to keep the human race going, but also they don't want us to destroy this beautiful planet. And don't get me wrong, my friends. What I mean is that planet Earth is a jewel among the universe with all the different life here. Over a million types of insects, over 30,000 types of fish in the ocean, seas, rivers, and lakes. Over 10,000 types of fish, excuse me, over 10,000 types of birds and 10,000 types of reptiles and 9,000 types of amphibians, 5,000 types of mammals. I love saying that because all this life here on Earth is incredible. And all of these bodies were individually made at one time, you know? Isn't that amazing? The intelligence that it took to maybe not only create a human being, but an animal, a heart that beats independently of the will, and blood that was pumped through miles of veins in the body, and lungs that purify the blood, and a central nervous system that acts in an incredible way, you know, to pull our hand off a hot stove in a fraction of a second, faster than how the brain could react, you know. That's the next step in our evolution, my friends, to make contact with the extraterrestrials that we know. We don't just believe, we know exists out there. And what might be surprising to us is that they're actually very loving people or beings who have a great sense of humor. They would definitely know how to make you feel comfortable in their presence. You know, they wouldn't try to take advantage of us in any way. I'm going to take a drink. One thing is for sure, and that is, if we did have contact with any extraterrestrials, it would change our lives. And maybe that's one thing they have to be careful about, because interfering with a being's life plan, you know, how we all plan our life before we're born in the pre-existence in the spirit world, before we're born into this world, we plan everything down to the most minor detail, our families and friends that we're going to encounter, what our bodies are going to look like, all the different characteristics that we have. Maybe if we have perfect teeth or not so perfect teeth, if we need glasses or not, accidents that we might have along the way. Everything is planned. And maybe it's kind of like going back in time and changing things. Things might not work out the way they're supposed to, you know, so they have to be careful. But then maybe it's also written in the stars or part of the plan where we do make contact with extraterrestrials. You know, that might be part of the plan. In other words, that is the next step in our evolution, because what we're doing here, we're just constantly going around and around and around. I've been on television, like I mentioned. I watch Abby Phillips' show on CNN evenings at 9 Central Standard Time. And they debate different issues and stuff that's going on. Of course, CNN is mostly, excuse me, Democratic-leaning. So they're trying to win the midterms and the 28th presidential election. And so everything they're doing is geared against the Republicans and everything. They don't have anything good to say. Well, they do sometimes, but it's rare. Same thing with Fox. They're trying to hold the ground, you know, because they're mostly Republican. For the most part, they're Republican. And so it's kind of a bitter feud that's going on, like the McCoys, what were those, those two Western families that used to feud between themselves? The Hatfields and the McCoys, kind of, you know, it's pretty interesting competition. But, I mean, I see sometimes that their rationale is flawed. And I have had flawed rationale quite a few times, and I still will do going forward into the future. But sometimes you just can't change people's minds, even though they're not making any sense, you know, but they're entitled to their opinion. But it all comes down to this. I said it before, and I can't say it enough. I will not listen. I will not agree with somebody or really hear their perspective, because it's just the same old stuff, you know, attacking, 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 trying to tear down your opponent when they don't have anything good to say. That's wrong. It's a lack of intelligence. And it's kind of sad when it's coming from brilliant people who are gifted, you know, and I would expect more, not demand, but expect more from people like that. Let's not get caught up in the competition. And it's like watching the Super Bowl next Sunday, right? Now, you might be a Patriot fan or you might be a Seahawks fan. But when they're playing, when the other team makes a good play, I know it's hard. It's so hard, but can you please just say, well, that was a good run, or that was a good pass, or that was a good play. You know, you might be a Seahawks fan and the Patriots get a maybe a 50-yard gain. Now, that was a good play. Or the field goal kicker kicked a good field goal. Wow, that was a great kick, you know, and you, even though you're on the other side. Can you just say something good, please, about the opposition? Change the dynamics. Love. Try to love your fellow human being. You know what it's like losing. No one wants to lose. Like Michael Jackson said, and beat it. No one wants to be defeated, right? Change the world, my friends. Just like in the movie Ted 2, I offer you an opportunity to change the world, my friends. I offer you the opportunity to change the world, to make history. Start saying good things about people who you are in competition with. Even if it's just like Mr. Trump. Maybe you don't like him, but please say that he has a beautiful family, a beautiful wife, beautiful children. Can you do that? Is that going to be so hard to do? I mean, does that really like churn your insides and you just can't do it? What about if one of them were to die tomorrow? What about if Mr. Trump had been killed by that bullet in Butler, Pennsylvania in 2024? Would you have felt bad in any way? Regretful, remorseful for having said some of the mean things you said about him? Any normal human being would, I think. What about sometimes he has a pretty cool sense of humor? He's got a beautiful smile. I've had dreams about him myself. He's been in my dreams. What about his little dance there? Isn't that kind of cool? Why can't you love instead of hate? Change that hate into love, my friend. I like Kamala Harris. I didn't vote for her. I voted for Mr. Trump, but Kamala Harris, she's got such a beautiful smile. I had a dream about her. You know what my dream was? I dreamt that because I was in the army, I had to go through inspections sometimes, and the people that come and inspect you have to stand at attention by your wall locker, you know, back in basic training AIT days. Well, she was, it was kind of like that scenario in my dream. And she came by, I don't know why, and I was standing there, and she kissed me on the cheek and then moved on down to the next person over on my right, but then turned around, came back, and gave me a kiss on the lips for 2 seconds. And I was like, wow, what a dream. But I think she's got such a beautiful personality, very bubbly, vivacious. She's alive. Hey, you know, if anything, my friends, please acknowledge that the people who you are saying bad things about are alive. Our love is alive, my friends. I'm not trying to say this in a morbid way, but please recognize that life in your fellow human being. Give them that respect and dignity that they deserve, excuse me. And I'm sure she's got some beautiful people in her family, and she's got a great sense of humor. And Gavin Newsom, for example, I can see some things that he could have done differently, you know, with the wildfires in California and having better prepared California, and the state has so many taxes and, you know, doing things differently. But I think he's a very handsome man, and he's got a very nice smile, and he's very brave and courageous, as are all politicians, you know, to get up there, and they're all excellent public speakers. So you see, there you are, my friends. I can say good things about other people, anybody, even someone who's been unkind to me. And one way to do that is to pray for them. You have to be a prayer warrior in this world if you're going to help make the world a better place. You have to pray for your fellow man and woman, you know. Here on earth, men and women. There in heaven, men and women too. As on earth, as it is in heaven, in heaven, as it is on earth. You have a man and a woman, mother and father here on earth, and there in heaven, there's a mother and a father. The Father God wants a woman by his side. No one can tell him that he can't, right? Father God wants a female companion. Are you the one that's going to tell him that he can't have a female companion? I think not. Also, you should know by now, to create children, you have to have a mother and a father. A father by himself can't do it alone. That's logical. That's irrefutable logic. So sometimes people just keep on with the illogical kind of discussions, and all you can do is say, well, they're entitled to their opinion. But as I said previously, we all need to get smarter, increase our lights. Let your light shine, my friends, the light of your soul, the brain of the spirit. Help make the world a better place. We need you. You can do your part to help make the world a better place. Please do. Start by saying good things about people who you don't like necessarily. Just one good thing. Acknowledge that they're alive. Acknowledge that they deserve respect and dignity. Here's a prayer because I'm running out of time. Creator of the universe, you're awesome and wonderful, and we love you. And we know you love us, and you're omniscient. You know everything. You know how many grains of sand are on a beach in Australia. And you know how many hairs we have on our head. You're that smart, and you're omnipotent too, which means you can create anything, do anything. You're powerful, all powerful. And you're like our father and mother, a grandfather, grandmother. And thank you for everything, for this world, everything within it, for our lives, for the universe. Thank you for the beauty everywhere. We want to evolve and develop ourselves spiritually. We need your help, please. We can't do anything without you. We pray that you will help us to survive, to grow, develop spiritually, evolve our souls. Please, things go better with you, Creator. Help us all. Help us to love each other like Jesus taught us all those years ago. Please. In Jesus' name, or just plain amen, my friend. I think I'm about out of time. How am I doing, Thomas? 1 minute. So So that's the prayer, my friends. Please have the courage and the strength to pray, wherever it is, whenever you can, help make the world a better place. Do your part. I appreciate you listening to my show. I love you. And please do take good care of yourselves. And God willing, I'll talk to you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.